Judges 16. And we start reading at verse 20. Now we are picking up halfway or partway into the story. Delilah has tricked Samson. Samson's hair has been shaved. And she is ready to wake him up. And she does. Hear God's word. Then Delilah called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to the God, their God, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who has laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. And then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, may each one of us hear a better sermon than the one preached. What I say wrong, or when what is said is really not good enough, will you forgive and forget? And what I do say, what is good, through your Spirit, will you lift that up? And Lord, may we be encouraged, filled again with new hope as we leave here and go into this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. People loved by God. There's something that I want to say. You know, my perception of God is influenced by New Testament texts like God so loved the world, or God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. When I read the Samson story, you know, I wonder, how does a God of love participate in killing thousands and thousands of people? You know, I struggle with this. The God of love hates oppression, injustice, and evil. In the text, God judges Philistia. And Philistia is guilty of all three, of oppression, injustice, and evil. But in the Bible, I mean, judgment does not get the last word. In Revelation 11, there is the reconciliation of the nations. All the nations of the world become the nations, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22, the leaves on the tree of life is for the healing of the nations. In the Bible, judgment is to bring salvation. I mean, judgment is to bring salvation. Okay, that's out of the way. You can relax. Take a breath. You know, I wonder, what kind of redeemer do we need? A student is struggling with an algebra equation, and she needs someone to explain it. And she needs a deliverer. A parent is trying to connect with professional care to help his psychologically troubled child and needs someone to make a connection, to get an appointment. The parent needs a deliverer. On the last day when Jesus returns, as the Bible describes it, the books are open. We need a deliverer. We all need a deliverer. Israel needed a deliverer. The armies of Philistia had attacked and defeated the Israeli army. They have occupied the country. And like all occupiers, they have enslaved many of the Israeli people. They are raping the land of its resources. God's people are not able to freely worship and work before the face of the Lord in the land of promise. God's people needed a deliverer. And then we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to an unnamed woman who was sterile and without child. And the angel informed her that she was going to give birth to a child, a son. He was not to have his hair cut. He was not to eat or touch unclean food. He was to live as a Nazarite. And in time, this unnamed woman, identified as the wife of Manoah, gave birth. She named her son Samson. And we read that as Samson grew from an infant to a toddler to an adolescent, God blessed him The Spirit of God was stirring in Samson. God was providing a deliverer for Israel. And friends, what a character he was. I read in one article that he was a narcissist. A narcissist is one who is excessively interested in and feels great admiration for themselves. I mean, think of President Trump. When Samson was a young man, he saw a young Philistine woman and he wanted her. His parents tried to persuade him otherwise. He responded saying, "She's the right one for me." I mean, Samson knew. Later, when his wife was given to a friend, Samson was furious. He captured 300 foxes. In pairs, he tied their tails together and set those tails on fire. He let them go. Cornfields, vineyards, olive groves burned. The result? Ordinary people, men, women, children, going hungry and dying. He thought little about the consequences of his act. One article I read described him as a buffoon, a fool. It shouldn't surprise us. In the book of Judges, each successive deliverer is less godly. Read the whole book this week. Gideon is less godly than Deborah. Jephthah is less godly than Gideon. In the book of Judges, God's response to each successive deliverer is more muted. Samson is the last significant deliverer. He is the least godly of the deliverers. Blind. He is led from prison, where he was grinding, tied like an animal to a grinding mill, grinding grain. He is led into a stadium filled with thousands and thousands of Philistines, rulers, worshiping their god, Dagon, celebrating victory. And at some point after performing, Samson asks his attendants to place him where the temple's pillars are located, with his left hand on one pillar and his right hand on another pillar. Samson prays, "Lord, remember me. Remember me. Strengthen me once more so that I can get revenge on the Philistines for my eyes." I mean, Samson didn't pray that he would get strength once more so that he could fulfill God's purposes for his life, that he deliver, be used by God to deliver God's people. Samson prayed for strength so that he could get revenge on the Philistines for his eyes. And God accommodated Samson. The temple collapsed, and some 3,000 Philistine rulers were killed. You know, if there were newspapers in those days, I imagine the headlines would read, "Sacrificing his own life, an Israeli hero causes the death of 3,000 Philistine rulers." And beneath those headlines, the article would recount the deeds of Samson, killing 30 Philistines, killing 1,000 Philistine soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. And that article would end saying, "He killed more when he died than when he lived." God used Samson to deliver God's people for a while. For a while. But the question is this the kind of deliverer that Israel needed? The question is this the kind of deliverer we need? The answer to both of those questions is no. Samson points to another deliverer. Samson's birth was announced to his mother by an angel. Someone else's birth was announced in the same way. Samson's birth was miraculous. Someone else's birth was miraculous. When Samson was almost dying, he prayed, "Remember me." When someone else was almost dying, someone said to him, "Remember me." Samson's life points to Jesus. There are similarities, and there are differences between Samson and Jesus. And I'm going to focus on the differences. Jesus' life is an example for us to follow. Samson's life is not an example for us to follow. Samson was excessively interested in himself, infatuated by himself. Jesus was humble, giving up the glory of his Father's throne, becoming human. Samson, filled with rage, burned cornfields, vineyards, and olive groves. Jesus, seeing the crowds, was filled with compassion. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. Samson, when close to death, prayed that he might get revenge on the Philistines who had hurt him, gouging out his eyes, when Jesus was close to death. Jesus prayed for those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus is an example for us to follow. And friends, when we do, God delights. Our neighbors are blessed, and we are touched with joy. Jesus is the deliverer that we need. Jesus reconciles us to God. Samson is not able to do that. No deliverer is. When the first human couple sinned, they were exiled out of the garden. They wandered east of the garden, lost and separated from God. In Samson's day, God's people had settled in the land of promise, in Eden restored. And though they in some sense lived in the garden, they still wandered, lost. In time, they were exiled out of the promised land. Exile. Jesus reconciles us to God. Jesus did what Samson could not do. Jesus did what you and I cannot do. Jesus kept the covenant. And it is because of this that sins are forgiven. It is because of this that the exile is over. The exile is over. Jesus reconciles people with God. Jesus is the deliverer we need. But you know, you and I don't have it in us to follow the example of Jesus. We cannot humble ourselves, show compassion, offer forgiveness like Jesus did. We can't. And though reconciled to God, you and I don't have it in us to turn our lives towards God. We naturally turn our lives away from God. And this being the case, the question is, what good does this deliverer named Jesus do? What good is he? If we can't respond to him. You know, the story of Samson ends with these words. He killed more when he died than when he lived. The death of those thousands of Philistine rulers delivered Israel for a while. If you keep on reading the book of Judges, it gets worse. A man kills his concubine who all the neighbors had raped. He cuts her into 12 pieces and sends the body parts throughout Israel. This results in a horrific civil war with God's people killing one another. In some sense, Samson's death causes more death. And friends, Jesus' death on the cross brings life. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8 these words, and I quote, "Just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation of all people, so also one righteous act, Jesus' death, resulted in life for all people." After Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus and the Father together sent out the Holy Spirit, poured the Spirit on the church. It is the Spirit working in our hearts that enables us to turn our lives to God, to love God. It is the Spirit working in our hearts that enables us to begin to follow the model of Jesus. Being humble, showing compassion, forgiving others. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us alive. Jesus ascending into heaven and sending the Holy Spirit out on the church gives us life. Jesus is the deliverer we need. And people of God, the story continues and it broadens. Now, after you read the book of Judges this week, read Acts 2, infused by the Holy Spirit. God's people literally become Christ's body in the world. Infused by the Holy Spirit, God's people literally become the presence of Jesus in the world. Jesus, and this is the amazing thing, Jesus, together with the church, you and me, is the deliverer that our world needs. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, will you fill us with your Spirit so that we become truly followers of Jesus, following his example. Fill us with your Spirit so that we turn our lives towards you more and more fully. And Lord, will you use each one of us to be messengers of good news in acts and in words. And Lord, we thank you for our deliverer, Jesus, your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.